Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. But my friends call me Donnie, so whichever's good for you. This is my show, Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. It's now 6:01 p.m. here in Mountain Time, here in Colorado, near Manitou Springs. If you're just now tuning in, we just started. So you just came in time. Okay, if you're a person who likes to call in and get a reading, please do so. Give us a call, 646-721-9031. If you'd like to get a reading, or maybe a follow-up reading, it's always good to get a follow-up reading after reading because messages do keep coming through after most readings, and I usually get a lot of information that keeps coming in where I wish I could, that person would call me so I could actually get that information. And I usually wait till your intuition prompts you to do so, so therefore it's a better experience. Or if you like, you can call me, make an appointment. That's what we always offer, the block of times. So therefore, when you feel like you like to get a reading, you always have the time already booked, so therefore you have to do is schedule the timing. Or you can send an email reading. You send email readings to my email, which is actually psychicxjourneyman@live.com. And we're having a special. It's only $25 for 5 cards and 3 questions. And actually, we're thinking about changing it just to whatever you got, just send the questions. We'll take care of the whole thing. We'll give you 5 cards, and it'll be $25. Okay, so what you do is you go to my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. You book it and then send the email, and you'll have it back in 24 hours. All right? If you'd like to get a personal reading with me, and you're listening to the show, you might get a private reading. All you got to do is call me at 719-344-8699. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com and go from there. I always say, people, give me a call first before you do what you got to do so I know what's up. Okay? So we can get back and forth and be on the same page. Also, when we make specials on this show, what you do is when you go to the website, you just use the donation button. Okay? Donation button to make your payment. It's easier that way and that kind of stuff because we usually don't change the prices a lot on the website, and the prices that we give to you that you hear on the show are just for the people listening and the callers. For our, I guess you would say, our followers on the show, we give a special discount too because we appreciate your support. All right? And this month we're having an August special where it's four 90-minute sessions for only $150, and those sessions are usually $135, but right now this month for only a single session it's only $77. Plus, if you just want to get a reading and you want to use the other denominations, because it's 90-minute sessions, you can pretty much do what you want. But we recommend that you save those for when you really want a lot of time past life regressions, relationship counseling, life coaching, learning new meditations, those kind of things. All right. But if you want a 90-minute session right now, this month, they're only four 90-minute sessions are only $150. Or if you buy them singly, they're only $77. And our regular readings go like this: $75 for 75 minutes, $45 for $45, and $25 for 25 minutes. We also have a one-card angel reading where we take one card and we do a reading for you, and that only costs you $20. It takes about 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but it's amazing what you can do with one card. But I've actually worked with this for a very long time to get it perfected. So therefore, can you imagine when we sit down and do a five-card angel reading for you? If you can do a 20-minute reading with just one card. So keep that in mind, and I highly recommend that you check it out sometime and take advantage of the experience. Because like I always say, if you get a reading with me, I guarantee it'll be one of the best readings you ever had. All right? And if you're in the chat room and you have questions, just let us know and we will answer those questions for you. All right. Now we're going to go on to the callers. And again, if you want to call in and get a reading, on this show we do something totally different than most shows do, is we actually do readings. Okay? Full readings to give you an idea of exactly what we do. So later on when you're deciding if you want to do a private reading with me or not, you have just experienced the whole thing. Now, most people sit there and say, well, if you just did a reading for a person, didn't you just get the whole thing in there? We have five parts of our lives that most people focus on. And we cannot cover all five of those focuses on this show and the ideal of actually really being nice to everybody else who also wants to get on the show too as well, okay? So we usually focus on one subject and go in detail with that situation like I usually do when I do readings. All right. So, therefore, let's go into our first caller. And if you want to give a call in here, give us a call. 646-721-9031. I'm Psychic Extreme Man. This is my show, Psychic Extreme Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio. And it's now 6:07 p.m. here in the mountains in Colorado Springs. Well, actually, we're near Manitou Springs. It's 8/19/2012. Kicking August, aren't we? August is getting down. So, therefore, hey, we're going back into the fall. Which I think falls, but to me, is about the most prettiest time of the year, don't you think? Anyway, let's go into our first caller. Area code 631, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah, you are lucky. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I am. My name is Suzanne. I wanted a couple of questions. First, with love life, when do you see a boyfriend?
When do I see a boyfriend?
For me. Oh.
Okay, I'm good with that. I was going to say, I don't date girls. I don't date guys. Interesting.
For me.
Okay, Suzanne, do me a favor. Where are you calling from? And you don't tell me your address, and I'm just saying, give me a vicinity where you're at and your birthday.
Long Island, October 5th.
October 5th?
Yes.
In what year?
60.
60. Okay. You've had some frustrating events with relationships, I see.
Oh, yeah. Now I want better times.
Okay. Well, the ideal of better times, you have to let go of the old times.
I am.
Yeah, but see, you say, I am. It actually affects the whole thing of realizing that most people hang on to stuff. Well, actually, let's put it this way. I'm a relationship counselor, and people usually have past experiences that they're still working through.
No, I'm not dating anyone.
No, I'm talking about visions of residue from past exes.
No, there's nothing going on with. I mean, I'm
okay.
Ready to.
Let's go deeper into the situation. Subconsciously, there are things that you're still hanging on to that need to be removed. That actually affects the timing of when someone else comes into your life.
Like what?
Like residue of the ideas. But okay, we'll set this. We'll actually put it out there, and we'll help you understand. Okay? You want a new different relationship.
Yeah.
Okay, well, when you get into that relationship, how are you going to judge it if it's good or not?
By how I'm treated.
Okay. How you're treated. So how this person treats you is how you determine a relationship if it's going to go long term.
Well, if we're both compatible, if we both care about each other, if we both treat each other well,
okay.
If we have the same goals, have the same interests, if we're nice to each other.
Okay? Wrong. I'll tell you why. Because who you meet and who you're with determines by what you want, need, and desire, and what your goals are, not his. Not if he's nice, he's not nice. It's the idea of acceptance. So you're looking for somebody to accept you for who you are, to love you for who you are. You're actually looking for unconditional love.
But so yes, I am.
But you're also putting worldly ways in there to try to determine that. You cannot you cannot use worldly ways to determine a spiritual concept. What you need to do is you need to sit there and listen to what you want, okay? You look at a situation, you put it out to the universe, you say, okay, this is my intentions. This is my list. This is what I want. I have no intentions of putting any expectations on it or trying to take this list and make somebody this list. I want you to give me that person that list represents. You have people don't do that. They'll sit there and get that list out, and they'll start trying to pound this guy into that mold. And then they won't act like they can't get at nothing. Because when you push somebody into a situation that's not them, they treat you bad. You know why they treat you bad? Because you're treating them bad. So the situation, I've been a relationship counselor probably for over 20 years. Okay, I've studied it. I've also worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the idea of watching and observing and also taking the spiritual concept and realizing that most people are using physical and chemistry as the ideal to determine relationships when they got it all backwards. The ideal spiritual concepts, soulmates, twin flames, significant other, those are spiritual concepts. They're spiritual concepts. So the soul is perfect, whole, and complete. There's nothing that's ever touched the soul. One more person says, you hurt me down to my soul, I'm going to smack them. Because the soul cannot be touched. It's one of those situations where the things that happen in your life is the things because you allow them to happen to you. You open the door and say, okay, whatever you want to do, go ahead. When you don't realize, and the idea of determining a relationship is by putting your intent out there on what you want, need, and desire, and not selling for less. Compatibility is bullshit, okay? Compatibility is great. It makes things cohesive, but it doesn't determine if someone's going to love you or not. I've seen people that are so compatible, but they don't have those deep feelings of spiritual connection or soulmate twin flame. Okay? So when you meet somebody, the one thing people miss is, okay, does this guy love me? Does he care about me? Who gives a freaking, you know? That's not the important thing. It's the idea of having the strength within yourself to say, I feel something here. I feel a connection. I feel a bond. And I feel like I should go down that path and see what this is all about. How we get the strength is not looking at our past experiences of failure as weaknesses, but also looking at those situations as strengths that we acquire because we went through those experiences to know more about ourselves and to also know what we want, need, and desire, and who we want to be with. So when I sit and say subconsciously, you're still thinking and you're still using old worldly concepts, and you're trying to attract a new relationship. And when I sit there and look at the situations, the things that you're still hanging on to, you're setting yourself up for failure because you also have this other worldly concept. If it doesn't work out, I'll go on to the next one. People don't realize just that one thought, even for 2 seconds of thinking, if it doesn't work out, I'll go on to the next one, you just doomed the one that was coming up.
No, I didn't think that. I'm trying to...
I'm just saying to you, if you think those thoughts, we all have a tendency to think thoughts even for a second. Just because we can't remember them doesn't mean we didn't think them, okay? It's the ideal from this point on, the situation, what you want to be in and the relationship you want is the idea of just listening, okay? Not arguing with me, not sitting there being defensive. It's the idea of asking yourself right now at this moment, why do I feel like I have to sit there and justify myself? You don't. And if you are, that's a subconscious thing of another insecurity that you feel like you always got to justify and you always got to defend your beliefs. You don't. You are who you are. And that's what you got to understand. That when you get into relationships, you're not attracting bad relationships and bad people. You're attracting, and these are called physical manifestations of your fears that you're attracting and causing, creating these relationships. So the people that were coming to you were actually answers to find more about yourself.
Okay, so now what do I do?
Okay, no problem. What do you do? It's the ideal, wiping the slate clean, we call it. It's a nice, great thing to do. People say it's impossible. No, it's not. It's the ideal, realizing one. It's like this, Susan. Is it Suzanne or Susan?
Suzanne.
Okay, Suzanne. Go like this, okay? People go, I was traumatized when I was a child. You know, I got raped and all this kind of stuff. Do you realize at that moment when people do that, they're making decisions according to how their body feels and not listening to their heart and following it? Okay? So you can see how the spirit is in the driver's seat. Okay? If you're going to use any kind of trauma that happened to you physically or anything that was done to you in a relationship, all you're doing is making excuses of where you don't want to be. Okay? So what you need to do is say, no, I want to be there. I want to be in a happy thing. So what you got to do is realize one thing. Nobody goes outside and asks their Mustang, what am I going to do today? Or should I date this guy? I hope not. Raise your hand if you guys are actually asking your cars, okay, if who you should date, what you should do with your life, when you make those important life decisions, okay? Because if you are, you're having a problem. Because that's the same thing we're doing right now with the spiritual concept of finding soulmates and twin flames. Is see, we're asking our bodies, okay, should I date this guy? How do I feel? Do I feel horny? See, that's the thing. The physical thing will get you in trouble. But physical without the spiritual doesn't last very long. And then people start resenting each other because in the process of actually finding each other, they actually were trying to give a good impression when they first met each other, when they should have done one thing, been themselves. That would have been the good impression of being who you are. And what happens in relationships normally is the ideal, when they go into these things, they start being comfortable, and then they start being themselves. And then the confusion sets in because what? The physical doesn't match what I'm feeling. This person's actions doesn't match what I keep picking up with this person. That's why it's so important, communication. Communication goes on three levels, mental, physical, and spiritual. Okay, the spiritual concept is the bond, the connection you have. Okay? The mental is the idea of recognizing how much what you have between each other, loving each other. No, loving each other, okay? Because I've seen too many situations where compatibility can be acquired by listening to each other and realizing that maybe in some situations a compatibility that you don't think you like something is because you've never really had the opportunity to experience it. And then all of a sudden you start seeing two people getting really compatible. And plus sometimes with the compatibility of loving each other, opposites do not attract. They actually repel each other. What happens is two people come together, they're attracted because like attracts like, okay? Two spirits attract each other. Not what those physical things happen between the two of them, playing baseball and eating chocolate. I've heard this one lady said, well, we got a lot in common. We like chocolate. I said, ma'am, half the country, half the world likes chocolate. How's that compatible? So we eat with your compatibility. You got to look deep in the situation of compatibility. Like, for example, if a person, let's say you meet a guy and his grandmother died of cancer when he was 13. And then you realize when you were 13, you lost your grandfather. So you do have compatibility on things that you just don't have compatibility with somebody else. Okay? Psychologists and these people who keep pushing this compatibility, eHarmony, do your research on eHarmony. There is a divorce rate there, okay? It's not a zero. It's actually their percentage, okay? So when you sit there and look at the situation and focusing on compatibility, the one thing we're not doing in the compatibility is we're not focusing on the individuals. We're not focusing on each other. We're not focusing on ourselves. Okay? I keep telling people, the book will be out in 6 months, okay? But seriously, what you need to do, realistic, if we go back to what I said before, it's very important to stop underestimating yourself for who you are and be yourself. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to justify you. You don't have to make excuses for who you are. You are who you are. And I guarantee you that most of the people in your relationships who actually ran away from you is because you were the best thing that ever happened to them. And they wasn't really ready to accept what the reflection of you was giving back at them about themselves, of imperfection, of not realizing the way you become perfect is practice and focusing on those insecurities, those infractions within yourself that you see, and then you're going to find out they're illusions of fears that you kept with you that you need to let go of. Then you're going to see yourself as who you really are. It's like looking at your ass and saying, okay, that's me. It's not you. Okay? Okay, I've had so many people, you know, people say, I love myself. I just love myself to death. I said, look in the mirror. What do you see? Well, I don't like my ass. I said, then you don't love yourself unconditionally, do you? Because, see, you're making, you're saying my body's imperfect, so therefore I am. Not realizing you are the perfect being that can actually change that part of yourself. It's like looking at your Mustang, okay? And someone scratches it. Oh, my car's ruined. When you can simply take it down the road and get the scratch fixed, and it looks perfect, that's you. It's like, which one are you going to do? Are you going to let that scratch, are you going to sit there and focus on that scratch subconsciously and say, I know the scratch is still there. Or are you going to look at the perfect car that you have and look at the reality, what is now, not what was then? Get in your car and go to the beach and have a good time. Or are you going to sit there and look at it and say, well, there's scratches still there. I don't think I'm worthy enough to getting in this car and going down there before because I might scratch it again. See, if you let yourself be pulled into a fear, it will keep you from doing anything and everything you want everyone to do. If you sit and look at the situation, you go, so what if I was abused as a child when I was younger? Am I going to let that situation and that whole thing control my life for the rest of my life? Or am I going to go out there and do what I want to do? It's the strength that we acquire from all these situations that actually dictate the longevity of our relationships.
It's getting a date.
If you want some dates, I would go to the health food store. I've got a nice little bag of those things. But if you really want to person in your life, take the word date and erase it from your vocabulary.
I mean, I have to meet people.
No, it's not numbers, my dear. It's the ideal of focusing on the person you want. I'll give you an example, okay, in a materialistic world, all right? A realtor will tell you you have to have at least 20 people come through your house before you sell it. I can sit there and take spiritual concepts and have the house sold in a week.
Universe? Find me a man?
No, universe. This is the kind of man that I want. I'm open to receive.
Okay.
That's what the list is for, is to tell the universe of your intentions of what you want, need, desire. It's also your word. Also, the situation, I had a lady to this one time. She goes, I keep attracting married men. I said, well, put on your list. I want a guy to be single and emotionally available and who wants me as much as I want them. So be it, so it is. She didn't really focus on a lot of characteristics, you know, long hair, black hair, blue eyes. Her thing was to be loved unconditionally, to have a faithful man, emotionally available, and single.
Oh, I can write that down then.
Yeah, so that's the idea. Some people are simple. Some people like to get very detailed. But I also sit down with people and say, okay, are you getting very detailed because you're scared you won't get it? Or you'll get the wrong one? Are you being detailed because you're just a detailed person and you know exactly what you want? Because
see, when she wrote that, how long did it take her to find someone?
2 weeks.
For real? So if I say I want a faithful man, a single man, one that's emotionally available, and just put that down, I'll find somebody in 2 weeks?
Well, see, it also has to do with your subconscious mind. And the idea of the work, remember we were talking about the work of erasing this stuff in your mind. Because people, it's like this. Go ahead and write your list and ask yourself, in the process of writing this list, okay, ask yourself, are you scared of getting a bald man? Then you don't put that down on there because the fear will more likely manifest a guy with no hair.
So don't put a man with hair down.
Put anything you don't want on your list. What you're focusing on is what you want. Also, you can either do a thing that's called mapping or I call them vision boards. What you do is you get a bunch of magazines, all right? You start looking through the magazine until you find a couple that represents what you want. This is an intuitional thing where you can sit there and I always say, sit down with your guides and angels, okay? We're going to work together in the idea of romance. I want my soulmate. I want romance. I want that relationship, and I want it now, okay? And I want you to work with me on how to do that. So then we start going to the magazines. We get a poster board. You can either get a poster board, or some people actually get those boards at Walmart, the quirk ones with the frames, so they can just pin stuff on there. And then when they change things, they can actually take it off and change things. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a vision board or mapping and changing things when you start feeling like, oh, no, I want to do this and this. That's just you. You know, constructing exactly what you want to happen. And some people use that one with pens and stuff where they can pin stuff off and take stuff off. Some people get a poster board. I have a poster board for mine.
Can I ask you to everybody this who says, when do you see a boyfriend in my life?
Do I tell everyone this?
Yeah, when they ask that question.
It depends on the extent of their mentality, of what they're actually trying to focus on. If they're, it's like this. I had a friend of mine I did a healing on, and the one thing we had to do first was to help her conceive in her mind a perfect body before we could actually do the healing part, because what the idea of her insecurity is about, it doesn't exist, could work against the process. So sometimes we have to go through those things. Like with your situation, I feel like the ideal, we saw this yesterday on the show too. I'll tell everybody, I said, this is the way it works. If you have a person who has a focus board who's focusing on failure, then I would get rid of that friend, because it's a sign to you that you need to do one too. But to realize that focus boards are focusing on, they're taking your focus in a different direction on success. So it doesn't matter what you put on your focus board. It's the idea you're focusing on success in that relationship, that business, whatever. And with this one here, I'm saying if you take it and you sit down and you put this in there, this would be good for you. Okay, I guess the way to answer that question is everybody I work with, I work with them as an individual. So some people I do and some people I don't.
All right, I can definitely write that list and then put it to the universe.
Right, because I'm saying with the focus board, it's just basically just getting a piece of poster board, which I just got a piece of poster board at Walgreens for like 99 cents. And then I sit there and took a picture, put it in the middle of the focus board, okay, and then I just basically put everything that details to the success of that happening around and on the focus board, like welcome back, a reunion.
Okay.
And with yours, it's like, you know, the ideal of soulmates and trust, success, sweetheart, this is a done deal. Everything detailing to like it already happened, okay? What's so good about these is you can focus on these things. They're on the wall. You look at it. You focus on it. Give it about 10 or 15 minutes. Say, that is going to happen. Why? Because it will. So be it. So it is. And then go with your day.
Okay.
Best thing about these situations is the ideal detachment. You cannot attach yourself to these situations. It's also a good learning lesson to realize in the process of relationships, have the ones that really work good and the ones that really have those strong connections and bonds and the deep love are the ones that detach from each other and realize they are individuals, but that individuality also contributes to the strength of their relationship, trust, openness, vulnerability, communication. I think, personally, that communication and vulnerability are two of the most important things, because when you communicate with each other honestly, that's where you get the vulnerability.
Can I ask about a certain person I liked, or you don't predict those sort of things?
Well, it's one of those situations to tell everybody, keep your mind open. We also have another technique that I do with people, too. Is like we get a yitches. People are looking for their soulmates, twin flames. And I recommend that you get a nice soulmate, twin flame prayer. So if there's somebody in your life that you're thinking it might be, and you start saying that prayer, what's going to happen is the two of you guys are going to get closer, and all the blocks and the things that come between you will fall to the side for this relationship to happen. What the beauty of it is, too, is if he's not, then your soulmate will still show up. Everything will play out in favor of you.
All right.
That's the thing we have to work with people to realize is you deserve everything and everything, anything and everything and everyone who comes and crosses your path. We can't sit there and say we're unworthy because they chose not to stay. It's the idea of their unworthiness that actually made them book. So therefore, we look at the situation, look in the mirror and going, wow, I'm that good that people run away. Fantastic. And then you look at the situation and say, you know something? All the universe is doing right now is weeding out the ones that can't so I can actually be with the one that can. Because there's no such thing as speaking your mind and telling the truth and making somebody run away. No, they heard what they heard. They made the choice to book. It's like looking at people laughing at him going, oh, shoot, this guy has Nikes on. I wonder if he's going to run, you know, and things like that. It's like the more you can find the humor in situations and relationships and stuff like that, it actually increases the bond, the closeness between the two. And even this was our Friday show. Arguments strengthen relationships. Okay, guys, one more time. Arguments and disagreements strengthen relationships because
I even go on dates and I get, oh, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and I never call. So why do they say it?
Well, let's look at the situation. Why are they saying it?
Because they want another date. I don't know.
No. If you have a person to sit there and say, you're wonderful, you're great, you're awesome, and you never hear from them again, they were sitting there talking to themselves. Am I really this great and this awesome to be with this person? And I'm not, and then they don't call you no more because it's because of their insecurity, not yours.
Yeah, I even wrote them and said, why didn't you call? I never wrote them back.
Remember one thing we tell everybody in the freaking world. Everything you desire comes to you. Every good thing I desire comes to me. If it doesn't come to me, then it's not good for me. So therefore, just all stop spinning our tires and our wheels and look at the situation for what it is. It's not your job to seek for love. Your job is to go within yourself and seek all the barriers against it. And look at the person that came in your life and say, okay, this person's feeling worthy about themselves. What does that tell me about myself? Now, we don't realize that most of the time, reflections can also be good reflections about how you are at that moment. It could be telling you right there at that moment, this person doesn't know what he really wants or not, is unsure. The reflection back at you tells you that you do. So with that confidence, you should look at the situation for what it is and say, okay, the person didn't call me back. Next. That's the time you should sit there and go on to the next relationship. Not to sit there and hanging on to something, well, we had a connection. Of course you did, my dear. It's called, you're a loving, caring person. If you still love your exes, doesn't surprise me any, because you're a loving, caring person. I heard this song the other day. It makes perfect sense. The sun does not choose who it shines on, because it shines on everyone. When it rains, it doesn't choose who it rains on. It just rains on everyone. So the idea of looking at these situations, you know, why me? We should also be changing that format and saying, yes, me. It happened to me. I attracted a relationship. I attracted a guy to come in my life who just couldn't see me for who I am. So I just got to keep going on because, you know something? I can see real clearly through these people I've been meeting. I know who I am. I know what I want, and I know what I desire. And I'm not settling until I get it because I'm a fantastic, awesome person. He just said it. So therefore, if he didn't come back, I guess he didn't see the reflection reflecting back at himself about the same thing for himself. So therefore, he's not ready for a relationship. But I am.
Unless he met somebody else the next day.
That's what I'm saying. You're putting variables in the situation. Who gives a hoot? Who cares if Johnny Boy met somebody the other day? If he did the same thing to you, he's going to do the same thing to her and the same thing to the next one until he comes to realization. It's all about him, not what the other person is going to do for him. It's about you. And when you sit there and say you did find out that he met somebody else, you sit there and do the same thing. Use that inner voice to say, well, I guess he didn't see me for who I was. But why even go down that road? Just take it for what it is. The guy did not call. The guy didn't do anything. So just let it go. I mean, there's different variations in the situation, too, if you already had a relationship with somebody. And then they decide to disappear. You know, and you sit there and go, okay, I feel like this person really loves and cares me. He just has to come to a realization of what we had did happen and come back. That's a different situation, okay? But if you just met somebody, went out on one date, and never heard from them again, ask yourself, what the hell am I doing dating? I should be focusing on the universe and say, you know, universe, I don't even like dating. I think dating is just bullshit of people using the numbers again. Like I said before, I'll give you an example. My friend was trying to sell her house, and she's scared to death because she wants to sell her house and move back to California. I don't know if I'm going to sell this house in a month. What? And she goes, okay, Donnie, when am I going to sell this house? I said, you need to settle down. You need to relax. And I said, why are you so bent out of shape? She goes, because my realtor just told me I got to reduce the price of the house because of the economy. And I said, and don't take this the wrong way, but I said, you tell your realtor he's full of shit. And I'll tell you why. Because he's working on the worldly way of numbers. He's saying if we get 20 people coming to this house, we're going to sell this house. And I said, no, let's go back to the root of the problem. What is the problem? It's like with your situation, you really don't need to know what's going on in your subconscious mind. It's a releasement. So what I would do is I would say, Archangel Michael, like I told my friend, I said, you're still attached to the house because you love Colorado. I said, what you need to do is work with Archangel Michael and cut the cords to the past. Okay, you really don't need to know what that is. What you're going to do is you're going to ask Archangel Michael is, I want to move on. Like with your situation, I want to be in a fantastic, great relationship, and I want nothing to interfere with that. I want all my fears, all my connections, all my attachments, all my baggage gone. Okay? I know there's some there, and even the ones I don't know there, please cut them loose. So I did the same thing with my friend. I told her to cut the cords to the house. And I said to her, I also told her, I said, sell your house for what you want to sell it for.
I just did all that when you were saying it.
So you sit there and do the whole thing. Okay, my friend said, okay, you're going to be selling for $120,000. Yes. My realtor is going to get mad. Fire him. Don't give him a percentage because he's not a good businessman. He's not listening. He's not listening to what's going on. He's not listening to you. You know, me personally, when it comes to lawyers, realtors, and all these guys, they're employees. They work for us. So it's about time we stop letting them dictate. We have an agenda. A lot of us do our own research and everything else. We just want that go-between person to get it done quicker. And if he's not doing his job, fire him. Take the percentage for yourself. So she said she did the attachments and everything. I said, okay, now next what we got to do is we got to picture the guy coming to you, handing you the money and saying, I'll take it, and then say, paid in full. Her house sold in a week. She called me up with a different attitude, excited. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Someone just made an offer on my house for what I asked for, and I'm loving it. And then next day she called me back up, and she was packing up and going back to California. So it's the ideal of a situation. Like I tell everybody else that comes on the show, are these great theories? No, I live them every day. Okay? I've done the same thing myself. Everything else, it's like success, success, success. Focus, focus, focus. People go, well, you know, the world. Forget the freaking world. I love that one first part in the Bible where it says, you know, you're here in the world, but it doesn't mean you have to be of the world. Make your own path. Make your own direction because that's what it's all about. The idea. Look at the people out here who have this, who usually go against the grain. They usually have a tendency to create a new concept. And then we find out later on it wasn't a new concept. It's like this new age stuff. New age. It's not new age. You can trace it back like 2,000-3,000 years back. Maybe even 6. Palm reading can be traced back almost 6,000 years. And I can sit there and tell you everything about yourself through a palm reading, the idea of what's going on, happening, that kind of stuff. Even tell you about emotions and stuff that you were going through with certain incidents, certain situations that went on in your life. You know, it's the idea of realizing the hands are connected to the brain. Okay? When we love somebody, the first thing we want to do is touch them. When we don't like somebody, we take our hand and we take all of our freaking characteristics and we ball them up into a fist. Or we just, you know, it's either a hand or a fist. And I'd rather have the hand touching than the fist smacking.
Wrote down, dear universe, I'm worthy of a nice, caring, single man who is emotionally available for a relationship now.
Who wants me as much as I want him. I like that one.
And who wants me
as much as I want him.
Why, you think that's been my problem in the past? Yes.
Maybe a psyche for a reason. People get mad because they said psychologists and psychiatrists and that kind of stuff. I'm not denouncing them all. When I make my statement, it's the ones I've actually dealt with or heard about. I heard about this one couple that said they went to a marriage counselor, and the guy just told them flat out, you guys are just too selfish. But he never went any deeper than that to go to the core of why they were selfish. Even to the point where, was it a worldly selfishness as he was seeing it, or was it the ideal that they were focusing on each other, focusing on themselves, but they also forgot to focus on the relationship?
Yeah, because the person, real quick, and I know you have other calls, but the person I met 2 weeks ago, said, oh, I like you, like you, like you. And then when he had to go somewhere for a couple of weeks or a month now, it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm in a relationship. I'm like, oh, my God. But then he texts and calls every day, but then he's not sure. And then he didn't call today, so I'm like, I give up. Not give up, but it's like I'm getting mixed messages.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mixed messages is because we're taking on the surface and not going beneath the whole thing and looking at the situation. But okay, it's opened my heart to the situation. See, people close themselves off, not realizing by closing themselves off, you're closing yourself off to vital, important information. Because see, some girls I've been with get mad at me. Why? Because I do what I do with everybody. I feel like the ideal psychics is the ideal in relationships. Is what people say call intuition. They should use it. And the idea of you have a person who's, most people who lie are fearful of something. Why would they lie? They're hiding something. And when people, I'm going to sit here and say this real clear to a lot of people out there who listen right now. If you refuse to tell somebody something and you're hiding it, you're lying. Because lying is hiding.
Well, he's not hiding. He just said, I guess he's not, I don't know. I give up. Not give up, but I'm not sure. I don't know. So now I don't know if he's going to text or call anymore, or if he comes back, if he's going to go on a date. So I'm not going to wait.
Step back and ask yourself, why are you analyzing him? Why are you defending him? You know, so what? This day is the most screwed up freaking man in the world. What do you want to be? Do you? I get this really strong impression you want to be a wife, a girlfriend, and a wife. I don't see anything in there. I want to be a therapist. It's not your job to be a therapist. It's your job to listen. It's his job to focus on his own problems and come to his own realizations. And with those realizations, you can come to your realization of saying, you know something? If he calls, text, or whatever. If you don't, you don't. I'm going to focus on, see, that's what I'm saying. The list is a way of looking at the situation and going, okay, I've already put my list out to the universe. And right now, this dog is doing, he's not doing three things on the list already.
Yeah, I know. I'm not his therapist. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. You're putting things on there to basically be on the same page with the person you want to be with. Obviously, the guy you're talking about is not on the same page. It's also the ideal of being straightforward and honest with yourself, and the ideal when people tell you things. If you're hearing bullshit, then tell them. I had my girlfriend was sitting here in my front room, sitting here telling me she didn't feel comfortable here. Okay? She's got her stuff in the windows. She's got her stuff in the bathroom. She's got her stuff everywhere. She's also sitting there in her panties and underwear. The girl said she doesn't feel comfortable here. To sit there and agree with her would just enable her to regress. I looked at her and said, bullshit. You feel very comfortable here. Because I know one thing about women. If they don't feel comfortable somewhere, it could be 5,000 degrees. Those clothes would not come off. That's what they feel. So it's the ideal. Pay attention to what you see at the same time what you feel. Because when I saw that, when I was sitting here talking to her, the reason I feel compelled to speak my mind is because I love them and care about them that much. Okay? And I also love and care about myself. But she's seeing a reflection of me about herself and feeling intimidated by it. And I want her to feel intimidated. I want her to feel what she sees is her, of her true potential, what she can be too as well. I sit and told her one day, she says, you're great, you're awesome. I've never seen such a fantastic, awesome, psychic, intuitive, the whole thing. You're just fantastic. I looked her right in the face and I said, like attracts like, sweetie. Like attracts like. And what I am, you are.
I guess then when he said, I really want to be with somebody that I could have to see every single day and want to see them, I said, okay, then find it.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's an insecurity. He needs that reassurance every freaking day. So therefore, he has things to work on, issues. So it's one of those situations saying, you know, hey, buddy, why don't you give me a call and I'll set up an appointment for him. We just have to do a counseling session, okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll find a girl for you. And if he looks at you, go, what? See, that usually when you hear a what or I don't know about that, they're just not ready to face the truth. Which is that reflection that's being reflected back about them, about themselves.
All right, so I'll just let that one go too.
Just saying with the situation, sweetie, it's not the idea of letting go. It's the idea of realizing you deserve what you deserve. You deserve complete attention because you give complete attention. You're dedicated, you're loyal, and you do it unconditionally. You trust, you have faith in people. You give it unconditionally. It's just
like a Girl Scout. No, I'm kidding.
Just the situation. Take a look, right? Take a look at the situation, how it's folding. Okay? So therefore, we can look at the situation like this. Nobody's unworthy. It's just the idea of what they're willing to open up to receive. And if we sit here and look at the situation, guys, really think about this. I want to sit here and ask you all a question out there who are listening and say, you know something? Do you think dating services are doing us a service or an injustice? Because in the situation, the law of attraction, we attract every good thing to us. we attract every good thing to us. The law of attraction attracts. Everybody says, I'm looking to attract a really fantastic guy. And then they get in their freaking, their human mobile and go chasing after it. You see the contradiction there? Do you see the contradiction? You're chasing after something that's coming to you. Maybe the reason we have some relationships that should be great relationships that are bouncing off each other, because of momentum. They were both chasing after each other, not realizing they were going to meet anyway. Bam! And then they go, oh, now we got all this chaos. I don't know if I want this or not because it happened too quick. Nothing happens too quick. It just happens. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself and you're chasing down that road of, you know, I think I missed a lot of things. I'm going to go try to reacquire women. You are going down a road that you conjured up, and it's just a fantasy world, and you're going to see one thing, loneliness. You're going to feel bad because, see, the situation was, and the idea of independence and standing on one's own two feet is to find oneself. And finding oneself is not fucking the world. It's not the idea of going out there and chasing down opportunities you think you missed. The idea of realizing who you are and what you are at this moment is because of all the incidents and all the situations and all those little things that you went through to get to this point. So you've already found yourself. The one thing you're doing in that situation is you're running away from yourself. Every time you look in the mirror, guess what? Boom, there you are. So you can keep running all you want. If you feel dizzy, it's because you've been running around in circles away from yourself. Okay, just look in the mirror. Say you're fantastic, awesome. Did I just give up a great guy because of this I need to go find myself thing? Not realizing that reflection, that guy I was with, that fantastic, awesome guy I was just with, or woman, was reflecting back at me of my awesomeness, and I ran away from that. So therefore, I wasn't really running away from them. I was running away from myself. Do you know how many people are actually running away from themselves because they're awesome? You'd be surprised. So it's the idea of looking at the situation of the essence of who you are. Because I tell my girlfriend, you're beautiful, but it's because of the essence of who you are and the combination of what I see. So it's a combination of both. When you sit here and tell somebody, hey, I love you, I care about you, I will to the day I die, and I want to take it to the next step, and I want to marry you and spend the rest of my life with you. If you can just say that uncommonly and you really just kind of like put it out there and just say, boom, it's done. It's not done. As I was, we started talking this the other day. One lady said to me, she goes, well, I don't think marriage is the final block, the final thing. And I said, what makes you think it is? Because it's in that statement, she's basically saying her belief is that when you get married, that's it. Don't we realize in the process of getting married, We're going to be creating something every day. That marriage is the beginning of relationships going to another level. You know, we got together, we became girlfriend and boyfriend. We had this very special thing going on. Then that special thing evolved into an awesome special thing, which is called marriage. Went to people who just decided to declare, not imprison each other, but to declare to each other unconditionally to God that I want to marry you and I want to be with you. But really married, what they're actually saying to you, to each other, is they just want to spend the rest of their lives together, and they feel so compelled and so much in love with each other and really just know each other so well that they want to continue to get to know each other for the rest of their lives. So if you have this thing, I'm talking about perception, is to realize these things are all progressions. They're all growing entities. They never stop because you never stop growing as a spiritual being, neither will your relationships. Everyone you touch and everyone goes with you. And if they don't agree with you, then they're not on the same level as you are. And you should sit there and question that too, even if it's family. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, you know, this is family, I got to keep them around. No, you don't. People have to live from the consequences of their actions. If your family treats you in an unrespectful way and you never want to associate with them anymore, whose fault is it? It's the action that they put out there that caused the consequences of you distancing yourself from them because you have respect for yourself and they don't. So it's the same thing with everything and anything. When you have these kind of perceptions and stuff, how can you fail? And I always sit there and say, how can you not be successful? Get rid of fail word and say, I am going to focus on successful ways. Like I was entertaining the other day, I focus on the relationships and say, I said, I can manifest this. I can manifest this situation and this relationship into reality. Why? Because I can and I will. So be it. So it is. Thank you. Okay. Take it. And trying to figure this book at. It's called Creative Visualization. I got this one phrase from, and it's called, what you do is you sit there and visualize, you get your list, you visualize, you do the whole thing. And you look at it and you say, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern. So be it, so it is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you let it go. A lot of us are spinning their wheels because we're sitting there going, I got to keep doing this over and over again because I'm scared if I don't, it's not going to happen. It's like, put in the same concept when you order something for a catalog. How many people have actually ordered something from a catalog 6 times before they got it? They didn't. They ordered it. They had the confidence. And they let the universe bring that thing to them. And then they went to the post office or their mailbox to receive it. They didn't care about the in-between. Okay? So it's like ordering is your intent to the universe. You have to wing it out there. And then you let UPS, the mail, and all that kind of stuff do what they do. And then you sit there and say, okay, it's going to come here in about 2-3 days. And then you get it. You listen to your intuition. You go to the mailbox, and there's your box. It's the same thing with everything else we do in our lives in the ideal manifestation. The in-between is none of our business. It's the ideal stepping away and let the universe create these things for us. And then,
but then I also think if I'm that awesome, I would have somebody already.
Yes, but everything happens, it happens in its time. Maybe it's the ideal that the realization about yourself of being this awesome, great person, you're still having a perception problem with that too as well. And I'll tell you why. Because I do too. People call the show all the time. People do this and the other, and they say, you're awesome, you're great, you're brilliant. I'm sitting there going, okay. You know, it's like, sure, whatever. And it's one of those things, not realizing that, take the compliment and say, yes, I am. With confidence. The more you do that, the more you're going to see things gravitating towards you, because you're coming to a realization that you are an awesome person. You are great. You are a loving, caring person, and you love yourself too as well. And the love that you create within yourself also attracts the same thing too. See, what we're saying is, like in the concept, like attracts like. Okay? It's like, I guess what I was trying to say to my girlfriend is, like attracts like. So don't let your insecurities control your life. Look at what you've attracted into your life and the ideal of changing that outcome. Changing the ideal of living your dream. It's like you're looking at a guy who loves you to death. And so more than likely, you love him too as well. Why can't you just allow yourself to do and to love and care that person? Why do you keep going back on situations that you think you love somebody? Why would you go back and look at those situations? I think I love this person. Or I think I care about this person. I need to go back and figure it out. Not realizing what you're really doing at that moment is trying to figure out how you care about the person you were talking to. Why can't I just open up and just tell this person I love and care about them? Why do I have to go back to a situation I know already what it's all about? There's no future there. Because maybe I just saw the future. And I'm not really sure if I could actually be worthy of that awesome relationship, that person, and that awesome future. Not realizing you were already living it because you were with that person. Okay, so the ideal realization about ourselves, it's a progression too. But it's the ideal. And plus, we have a lot of people work against us too. So we have to sit here and focus on cutting those out too. I was sitting there out of my shop, and a lady came to my shop, and she's like, you're a fantastic, awesome person. I said, yes, I am. Thank you. And she goes, well, I was kind of egotistic and self-centered. I said, really? I was just agreeing with you. And she goes, I looked at her and I said, are you lying to me? And she said, no. I said, then why can't I agree with you? Why can't I just sit there and say, yes, I am? You're finding a problem with that. Okay? And I think what you're doing is egotisticness and self-centeredness, you're confusing with confidence. So maybe you should look at the reflection I'm reflecting back at you about your confidence in yourself. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just the answer that you're looking for about yourself. So therefore, you're awesome. You're great, and you're fantastic.
But isn't everybody?
Yes, they are. It's the it's the ideal of what I said before. It's the ideal that people are making decisions on what the body tells them. The body's a great thing and a great machine, but it's also the idea of realizing that you are a spiritual being in a human body, and your body, you have control over. Because remember, they talk about the part that says you have dominion over this universe. That means this planet. It means the planets. It means everything in the situation. Dominion means you have control over it, which means that you created it. Okay, but it's also you created that body because of your perception too as well. But you also still have dominion over it. So therefore, what you created, you can recreate, and you can also create the solution, and you can always create these positive outcomes all the time if you allow yourself to believe it.
Well, thank you all. This is a little bit deep, but thank you.
If you want to, you can stick around because there's nobody else in the queue right now at this moment.
Oh.
And more questions about anything and everything. I'm just saying, I was going to try to tell you earlier. I said, there's nobody in the queue, so I want you to relax and focus on you. So
but I don't want, I wanted to see like a prediction, not just like, you know, like, if you're you're very helpful and I get what you're saying and I'm listening, but also, like, if we're about my son, I want, like, can't you ever say, like, oh, I do see someone or I see a job or this or that? You don't, like, predict things at all?
I predict things all the time. But it's the ideal when we do the show. We talked to a lady yesterday, and she was like, I just called in here to hear a message from Spirit. And I said, sweetie, you just did. What do you think a medium is? A medium is a go-between.
Ask a question about a job or my son or something to get an answer?
Yeah, so I don't give predictions. I give you what I pick up. They're not predictions. Predictions are a percentage of things that some psychics throw out to see if there's a 50-50 chance they'll happen and not happen. What I do is I look at the situation and focus on you and listen to my guides and angels give me the answers of what's going on in the situation, of my intuition, perception, and that kind of thing. So if we have dates that come out, you get them. If we don't, then it's the ideal. That's
well, my son's now living with my ex because he just kept fighting me about it. About a year and a half, and we have joint custody. Do you ever see him coming back to live with me? If so, when?
Yes, I do. I get the impression I keep getting September.
No, he goes to school in 2 weeks.
Okay. You're asking, I always tell people, I give things, when I do get predictions, as in what you're saying predictions are, when I see a month or whatever it is, let's put it this way. When I tell people, when people come to do readings with me, I tell them to have an open mind, and all their perceptions, leave them at the door. All their conceived thoughts, all their controlled issues, leave them at the door. Take the information for what it is.
What's September?
Don't argue don't argue with the freaking information. Just take it for what it is and see what happens. And even with the situation of predictions and information, that kind of stuff, you can actually use them for leverage to actually make sure they do happen.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is, what's September? Because you just said September.
It's like this. When I focus on things and they give me stuff, they'll tell me if it's going to be September 2013, then you'll hear 2013 of September 2013. If you don't, and I just say September, then I get the impression around the 15th, 16th of September. That's the point about your question. Your question is asking, when will he come back? Now, to be more specific in the questions you're asking for, you want a permanent him coming back with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and that changes to October. Because the reason it changes is because in September, you get the impression he may come visit you. So he does come back to you.
Well, he visits me on weekends, and I just had him 1 week on and 1 week off all summer. I'm talking about where he goes to school and lives with me. And so I was joined custody with his dad. That's what I'm saying.
That time in September, around 14th or 15th, he'll be talking about certain things that you should pay attention to.
Like what?
That he's not happy or content with where he's at.
But why wouldn't he be?
Okay. This is a situation you need to listen to. Any idea when these conversations happen in September, that you should, you know, when you sit here and hear these conversations, they will hit you a certain way of a person coming back, and then I get October.
But, I mean, like, what is he going to, like, what kind of conversations? My dad or school or?
She needs to listen. That's what they keep telling me. And you'll know. It's the idea of saying, you know, I know my son. Then trust that.
I do, but he's always said, you know, I said, would you ever want to come back? He goes, no, I like the school. I like my dad living there in my own room, things like that.
Yeah, he likes what he likes. But I don't... You know, I keep getting a situation that you have joint custody, right?
Yeah, but my ex thinks he has full custody, and he just, you know, he thinks he's the only parent.
That's the problem.
Yeah, like I went to take him to a golf game, and we walked because my ex wouldn't pick us up, so we had to walk to the golf thing. He had a friend or an aunt pick my son up. Left me hanging, and I had to walk the rest of the way. My son gets in the car, they book there. Then we got to go home, and it's raining, and I had to get one of the mothers to take me home. That's how mean he is. And then they had a barbecue, and they paid for it. I'm at a luncheon, and then Max didn't even say in front of my son, have a hamburger hot dog. So I said, Nick, maybe I'll get a hot dog or something. He goes, no, Mom, you didn't pay for it. And he acted like he didn't know me a little bit because his dad was there.
Yeah, all these things are working in your favor.
Why, though? Because he...
Your son is like you.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. You get the impression... the way it came to me real quickly, okay? Like I said,
yeah.
My guys, you need to listen to the conversation. You need to listen to him. And you're going to start picking up things and stuff like that, okay? So take a break and step back. But it also shows he's like you. Okay? He's like you. Okay, so therefore, we feel like there's going to be an outburst from your ex-husband that's going to surprise your son of how he treats him as well.
Like, what, is he going to yell at him?
Okay, I'm going to sit down. Okay, we're going to put it to you like this. You're looking for details. Details are not going to help you.
No, but I mean, if he yells at him, he'll just say, yes, Daddy, yes, Daddy. That's what I'm trying to get at.
But see, you're sitting there, you're keeping it in the same perception. As it always has been, it always will be. At the same time, you're looking for change. You're contradicting yourself. You should be focusing on the miracle and the change.
Well, it would be a miracle. That's why.
Yeah, miracles happen every day, and miracles are things that actually go against the ideal reality, your reality. And then once you let go of that reality, you see a miracle and you see a situation. And I always tell people, manifestations happen like this. You don't notice a manifestation as you're going into it. Hold on, guys. I'm going to get a break real quick, okay?
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman, and this is Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. This is my show. Welcome. If you want to give a call in here, we still got 47 minutes left in the show. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. If you want to call for a private reading, just give me a call at 719-344-8699 or contact me through my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com.
Hello.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to remember what I just said. www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and we have an August special where you get four 90-minute sessions for only $150. And if you want to get a single session, they're only $77 right now, which is normal. Their normal price is $135 per session. So that's a great deal. So, you know, if you want to take advantage of those situations, please do so. If you just want to just have a simple reading, then we have this special going over at $75 for 75 minutes. And different variations, whichever's good for you. And we can do it that way as well. Okay? So just give me a call at 719-344-8699 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. If you want to give a call in here right now, get a reading, please do so. 646-721-9031. We're actually jumping back and forth here. I'm going to check the chat room and see if anybody's asking any questions. Well, there's only one person in there and they're not saying anything. So let's go back to the queue. So we can talk to you. We also have another person on the line, 337 area code. So just give us about 2 seconds or 2 minutes to get to you, and we will definitely get to you, okay? So therefore, hang in there. So, sweetie, with the situation you're talking about, it's the idea of opening up to the perceptions. See, with the idea of focusing on success, it's the ideal. Anything you can conceive, you can take a focus board and focus on success, even the relationship between you and your son.
All right, but you did see something happening and then him talking.
I see something in September and October and some things going back and forth. I feel like there's going to be the blow-up is one of those things where you don't know when it's going to happen. You just feel like it's going to happen, where your husband can only play this game for so long because he did the same thing with you.
Yeah.
He's playing a thing where he's going, he's nice, I'm this person, your mom sucks and the whole thing. When he looks at you, you're just like a reflection back at him about himself that he's not too happy to look at. Okay, so I feel like at one point in your relationship when you were both together, it had nothing to do with you guys hating each other. You wasn't too happy with yourselves. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm just saying, with all those situations and variables and stuff, you should need to look at those. Okay.
All right, and then you think that then he's just going to say, "Mom, I want to live with you" or something.
The way it comes to me, I just feel like it's going to be one of those decisions where he's just going to show up.
Yeah, though he's only 11.
Okay, sweetie. I had a friend of mine who was 13 years old, and he walked 10 miles because he didn't want to be with his brother to go home. Don't underestimate these kids, because when you do, you're underestimating yourself. You know yourself when you want to do something and you put your mind to it. That's the thing you should think about. He has the same kind of potential. So therefore, if he wants to show up and he's tired of the whole thing, don't be surprised. Because you're looking for a miracle, so just let it happen.
All right, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you ever want to sit down and have a personal private session, just give me a call. If you're not, please check back in with us and tell us how things are going, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 337. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Do you really want to know? No, I'm just kidding. Good. I always tell people, before you ask the question, I want you to be prepared for what you're asking for. Okay, so what's your name, sweetie?
Okay, my name is Tamla. I haven't spoken to you in a while. I called your show a while back, about over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And my question is, I have a friend of mine. We kind of, I don't know, we blew up at each other. And it didn't turn out good, so we just took a break from one another. And it's crazy because he stays in my dreams. And
kick him out.
It's like, huh?
Kick him out. Seriously. You know, one thing I always would like to sit there and look at situations, that when people do come in your dreams, if you don't like it, then put a stop to it. It's the idea of asking your angels and say, okay, This dream is a representation of this person. This person's in my dreams. So therefore, I'm confused why this person keeps popping in my dream because of the argument I had. They're going to sit there and say, well, you didn't learn from the argument, did you? Okay, so you listen to the... So it's like going to bed and say, okay, angels, when I go to bed tonight, I want you to give me a dream and help me to remember next morning exactly what the dream is and also point out all the amenities of that dream. So therefore, I know what it's all about so I can get the answer. Because that's what you're looking for. And the subconscious and the angels are working together to actually give you those answers. But I also got the really strong impression with this argument. You both walked away, so we need to take a break. You guys are taking a break because you don't want to look at what happened. The reflection of the argument itself was actually reflections about yourselves. And he does, and for some reason, I feel like it affected him more than it affected you. And the point where, you know, you have these realizations, but he's sitting there looking at going, it's all your fault. And see, therefore, anybody who says anything, even if he doesn't say it verbally, he says it to himself, he's still looking outwards as what the problem is, not realizing it never was outwards. The outward is just a physical manifestation of what's going on the inside.
Well, this is the thing, though, because I called you back because about maybe 2 years ago, you did a past life reading on me, and you picked up that he and I had a lot of past lives together.
Uh-huh.
And I was supposed to call you back to finish it because you were doing a special a while back where you do like 4 readings, but I never did call back because I was just really shocked at the past lives we had, and I didn't think it went that far.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation like what he and I have, because it's like whenever we talk, it's so, I mean, when we good, we good, but when it's bad, it's really, really bad. What can you make of that? I mean, will we ever agree to disagree? Will we ever just find a common ground because of all these past life issues we have?
That's the idea of appreciation. It's just the idea of realizing you are you. I think once you get to the point of realizing that they're just two different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just two different perceptions coming from two different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the point of acceptance, that's just who he is and that's what you are. Because when you guys were back in your past life and the first thing that comes to me is Egypt, you guys were just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing about, I would sit here and say about history, I think, where we're so drawn to past lives because there was structure, there was position, and everybody knew what that position was. Nobody questioned it. So in this lifetime, people are going, who do you think you are? Well, it seems like that perception of being a prince or a princess or being in a position of stature still comes through. Not
so
realizing
Yeah, you didn't tell me we had one from the Egyptian time, but since you're calling it, were we together in that era, or was it?
Yeah.
Well, in what capacity? What was it? Like something royalty, or was it what can you pick up?
I'm listening. Hold up.
Okay.
I tell people, I said, you ask the question, you don't have to keep asking more variables and details.
Because
actually you're interfering with the visions I'm seeing. So it's just the idea to say, okay, what do you see with that period? Because you just brought it up. Just leave it that way. And then, because the visions are already happening. And when you keep asking more and more, I'm trying to focus on the visions, but you keep asking more. I'm sitting there going, hold on. I'm sitting there going, I'm getting the pictures. They're coming in. It's like a little picture. And I'm sitting there going, I don't think she's going to like this. So I was sitting there looking at the situation of being around royalty, seeing him as a royal prince, being fourth in line, very arrogant, hated putting chalk on his eyes. I think we all know what I'm talking about. It's the eyeliners and stuff that they used to use, the Egyptians. And realistically, when you sit here and focus on Egyptians and stuff, we see it as very glamorous. They see it as a pain in the ass. Because the hair, the black hair, everybody had black hair. Why? Think about this, guys. They all have black hair in the pictures, right? Now, we know for a fact that when you're in hot climates like that, constant sun, what happens to your hair? it gets lighter. It doesn't matter who you are. It gets lighter. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, or whoever you are. Your hair always gets lighter. Okay? And the process of seeing things fade, the Egyptian believed that was also a fade of spirit. The sun was bleaching us. And even though the sun was powerful, it was that it was here. So when you look at the pictures and stuff, the men are usually what? Bald. They shave their heads. Or they have a freaking thing on the side of a what do you call that? Most of the things you see in the pictures and stuff are wigs. Or fixtures they put on their heads. So what they do is they would shave their heads. They also had a really bad thing with insects and stuff, okay? So they shaved their heads. Even the Egyptian women, most of them actually did the same thing too. And then they wore the wigs. Because everybody has the same hair. Everybody has the same cut. Did everybody ever think about this situation? Why is everybody the same? Because even with your cultures here, you know, you'll see a black girl with white hair.
Mm-hmm.
When most people have this perception in their head, it says no. They're also have black hair, and they have black skin, and they have black hair. Not really open their minds up because of what they've been sold. It's like on television. People look at psychics. Well, I just saw this stupid show the other day. I like this show, don't get me wrong. But it's amazing how Hollywood has a tendency to play things as being stupid. And they played a psychic off as being stupid, that he was caught up in his vision and he got ran over by a van. And it's not like that. I mean, I pick up visions and everything else like that too. I'm definitely, definitely aware of where I'm at, okay? And that's what I'm saying. It's all perception of what we see. Now, when I see the situation here, I see a man who's irritated with his life, but at the same time, position is very important because it's pretty much a done deal. You don't question his position because it's given to him at birth, okay?
So was yours. Yeah.
I'm getting to yours. It's just one of those things I like to lead into because you were actually a servant, and you were actually a servant in his father's home.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you were very. It's one of those things that you were classified realistically as a servant, but the true sense of the whole thing was slave. Okay. The thing that gets to me the most with you two right now in this lifetime is the idea of not really having that decoration of position. What are you? Who are you? What are you to each other? Do you have a relationship? Don't you have a relationship? In that point, I saw it very good. He was who he was and you were who you was. That didn't come into question. So whatever happened afterwards, you were able to focus on that. And I get the impression there was a definitely very strong relationship between you. And it keeps coming off as a very sexual one, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing with me and him. It's like we try to be friends. He just,
that's the point.
It's a crazy. It's to the point where if I start dating someone, they question me and his friendship. If he's dating someone, the women get just madly jealous.
Let's look at the situation real quick, right? Okay, we talk about reflections. Okay, look at the situation. There's answers that are being given to you, and no one's listening to them because they're acting emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're dating somebody who questions the relationship between the two of you. It's a reflection. This person is basically a physical manifestation of your own reflections about yourself and what the relationship is too. But you've actually manifested this physical entity that's actually come in your life as a dating partner who's telling you the same thing, that the idea of the relationship between the two of you is the idea of the stupidity of trying to keep it in a format of a box that needs to progress and grow. See, in your other lifetimes, that's what I'm saying. Position was given. You were who you was and he was who he was. Because it was the sign of the times, okay? And the idea of the sign of the times, you were able to focus on a relationship, and no matter where that relationship went, there was no such bullshit as saying, well, you know, friendship. No, look at the situation and conceive this picture, okay? Two Egyptians. You're a slave. I'm a god. We're just friends.
Oh, goodness. When you say it like that, I mean, oh, God, I figure it out already. I understand it. It's just that us in these modern times, we put labels and everything, and it complicates stuff.
It's like I was talking to my girlfriend and say, being friends. When you sit and put it in perspective and say, well, it's just, you know, it's like trying to figure out something, just be friends. Okay, no. you have to sit there and look at the situation and grow up and look at it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at this moment, we're letting our inner child run amok, not realizing we're supposed to be working together, as in physical and spiritual, as a balance, okay? When one dictates the other, then the one's not on the same page, okay? So the situation of balance within our bodies, within our souls, with our system, there has to have that balance between the two, realizing that the inner child nurtures us but doesn't control and tell us what to do. And when we're sitting here trying to say, I want to do what I want to do and I want to be happy, you need to sit there and look in the mirror and go, what the hell am I talking about? Because if I was doing what I wanted to do and I was happy, I wouldn't be talking about it. I'd be living it. Okay.
So in other words, it doesn't matter. I guess what I'm hearing you say, because I want to make sure I'm hearing you right, because this is troubling my soul. It's like I'm getting to the point where I'm just tired of hearing everyone. And with him,
It's like put it in perspective. Let's put a word on it. You guys are way. And what I was trying to say with my girlfriend, I told her, she got kind of like upset and said, "You don't love me enough to be my friend." Mm-hmm. No, I love you too much. I see it for what it is, and I have to live it for what it is. I love you. I care about you. I love you deeper than the more than anybody I've ever met in my whole life, and the ideal what's up. So, therefore, I want you to stop right there and quit telling me how I should feel when you don't want me to tell you what I already know. So, therefore, don't tell me how to feel, okay? And I won't tell you how you feel. And I don't. I always tell people how I tick up. Okay,
I would love it that way. Now, the way you just explained it, I love it. That's me to a T. But it's like when we get into heated discussions or heated arguments,
right?
That's when the friend card come out. And then he made a comment to me. He said one day, he said, "You know, to say we just friends, you put me through a lot of changes." And I'm like, there he goes. Oh goodness, there he goes.
That's what I'm saying. You sit down like this, okay? Sit down. And be bold. Be straightforward and be honest. Why is my phone ringing? Hold on, guys. Hold on. This is going to be stuck in the middle. I'm going to sit there. All right. I'm trying to figure this out. Okay. I will put it to you like this. When I sit there and told my girlfriend, boom, this is what it is. Don't tell me how to feel. I know how I feel. I know what it is. So therefore, it's not that I can't be your friend, because I'm more than just a friend to you. Okay? We've passed the threshold. That's what it is. That's what will always be. And if you're going to sit there and grasp a hold of the friendship, Reigns, then what you're trying to do is you're trying to get me to come down to your level of something that you can't deal with, not realizing that in a situation like this, the reason some people might look at us and say, "Well, you're being mean and you should compromise." No, you should not. And the reason you should not compromise is because, see, the reflection says like this, okay? The reflection, we reflect back at each other. Like, you know, like when you reflect back at somebody, you're basically reflecting back at them about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, therefore, what I'm doing in my situation is saying, I know what I want. I know what I need, I know what I desire, I know what it is, I know how I feel. Okay? The person that we're talking to who's trying to denounce the situation is questioning it. The only way they're ever going to get the answers is to stay firm in what we know, what we are,
right,
and who we are.
If we
stay firm to who we are, then they will sit to realize that they've always known who they are too, because what they were really running away from was reflecting back at them about themselves that they don't think they're worthy of, or even it's a sign of a worth. And the idea of us sticking to our grounds and looking at these people in the face and saying, "You know something? I told my girlfriend this. I looked her right in the face and I said, you just said I'm awesome, great, and I'm just really a fantastic person. Like attracts like, and so are you. What you see me as is something that you're scared of, but you already are. It's just the ideal of getting past your fears and allowing it to come out. Once that comes out, they'll realize the idea what they've been running away from is what they've always wanted.
Do you see me and him reconnecting on a level where we can? I don't even care anymore if he even agrees. I'm just gonna stand in my truth, and I agree with what you just said, because if I don't stand on it, I'm not compromising with him. I have to stand in my truth, because if I don't, I'm gonna hate myself. So Mm-hmm. Do you see us getting back together where I can at least have this conversation with him?
And we're going to do the same thing we've been talking about for the last 2 days. When we're sitting here talking about the situation of intentions and how important intentions is, because your intentions has not really been settled. It's the idea that because there's a subconscious thing that you want a relationship with this guy. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's the idea of realization. Realization said, yes, I do. So therefore, like I told a guy yesterday, was trying to figure out how to have his business be more successful with him and his son, and he was questioning things, but it was just a perception where he was helping people to actually be more successful with money. When he didn't realize what he was really doing was he was trying to teach, he was teaching them how to be more trusting and accepting of themselves. So therefore, everything else they did was a success. So I suggested to him to take a focus board with him and his son in the middle of it, and then put around it everything that has to do with success, of what you want, what you see, and what you feel the outcome should be. So like with yours is not a reconnection. This is an outcome of actually living and actually him already coming to a realization and actually having a relationship together.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying I would actually sit here and take a focus for it and say, okay, there's actually a prayer. It says, Archangel Michael, at this time, help me to face my true feelings. So therefore, I'm not scared of those feelings. I'm not scared of the outcome. And I can actually focus on success of the outcome that I see.
Okay.
And the process of cutting the cords to anything and everything else that could interfere with my success of my outcome.
Okay.
Get rid of those knots in your stomach when you're around him, and realize the reason those knots in the stomach are kicking in the head is because of the ideal, the situation of fear. Not just yours, but also his.
Right.
Because I definitely see a reconnection here, and I feel like it's one of those situations, but I don't feel like it's the outcome that you're wanting. Your outcome is the ideal of living a life with him. So that's what you need to see. But also realize that once you make that intention, whatever happens in the middle that doesn't affect you or no interaction, that kind of stuff, doesn't need to be known. Just to focus on the outcome of what you see and being prepared for that when it happens. Because like I always tell people, manifestations always happen when there's things where you turn around and go, wow, I'm living it.
I'm just still shocked at how you picked up on Egypt, because I know it has to be about 2 years ago when I spoke to you. You picked up that I was his mom in one past life and I got killed by some horses. That was so crazy.
Right.
And I know it's not funny, but it was just, I was like, wow. It was in the 1800s, I think you said.
Right.
And then another time I talked to you, you mentioned...
what was that, 1878?
I think so. I don't... Well, I'm not sure if you said if I was his mom. I know you said I had a baby boy, and the father who was rich had to raise my son because I died. I died in my 30s.
Yeah, and we sit and look at the situation and why certain things happen with you in this lifetime is because of some of the things that have happened that a person might be distant from you because of some of those things that happened in the past of getting close to, you know, like a son getting close to his son and then his mother gets killed. You know, sometimes people have a tendency to put those two together, getting too close to somebody, and then you lose them. So, you know, and the idea of exploring that lifetime, we'd have to explore it from his point of view because you were taken out of the equation.
Right.
Physically.
Now let me ask you one more thing about Egypt before I hang up, because I know you probably got other callers.
No, I don't. So take your time.
Oh, you don't. I'm going to have to call you for another past life regression, because that was deep. It was so deep, I was almost afraid to call you back because I wasn't expecting that.
You should call me today, and we should do a freaking regression, and I can get me a meatloaf. Anyway.
I know, because that was deep. That was my first time ever hearing something on that magnitude. Now, getting back to that time, I was a servant, and he was fourth in position. I mean, I know you said that we were, you know, we were sexual and whatnot. Did it ever go any further? Did it, did we get married? What was the custom at that time? What did you see happening between us?
I'm sorry, but the Egyptian thing seems to come off as secrecy.
Secrecy?
Secrecy.
Okay.
I would look at it like this. I'm saying, looking at a situation where you became his personal servant. But... That's what I was saying before. There's been certain lifetimes where, you know, the, whatever happened between the two of you was accepted. And now we've come to this one where it needs to be something again. And that's the thing that drives me nuts with the situation, jumping back to friendship. We're just friends. No, you're right. We was, but we're not anymore. We're so much more.
Yeah,
see,
because, I mean, it's, yeah.
People look at me, I mean, I was, like I said before, when I talked to my, girlfriend, it's just like the ideals, you have to be stern and strong, you know, but keep it mild and keep it down to a tone, I guess. But sometimes you have a tendency to be passionate because how you feel about them. It just needs to come out, and they need to hear and understand that you're not trying to control them. It's all, it's a lack of control within themselves to let go, to let it be what it is. That's the ideal of the realization of the people says, you know, I'm not hiding anything from you. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, they won't express how they really feel about you, that you pick up on sense. Because you know when you're with them, around them, there's certain things about you, your heart, there's certain things you feel that you know for a fact are true. And you know for a fact that you wouldn't feel those kind of feelings if it wasn't mutual.
Exactly. Now, do you have like a time span that you can see that when we go, you know, get, you said it's not even a reconnect, so when we go actually start having a conversation again, do you see a time span?
You know, I don't see a time frame. I see, like you said, I don't see a reconnection. I just see two people interacting with each other again. Almost like, I feel like you guys have had this before, where it's just the idea you come back and you start hanging out, communicating with each other, and it's almost like you never was apart in the first place.
Yeah, because now he's in, he moved for a job, he's in Colorado, and I'm still here in the South. That's what I was wondering, because I had, the strangest thing was I had a reading done, this was a while back too, and this lady was saying that she sees me in Colorado, and I'm like, Colorado, wow. And and he just took this job about back in June, because he didn't know anything about this job till in June, and it's a real good job.
Where
so
are you, sweetie?
Huh?
Where are you at?
I'm in Louisiana.
You're in the South. You're going, I see you in Colorado, too.
That's amazing. Golly gee whiz. Is it this year? Is it next year?
With a lot of variables I see, it would have to be next year. And I actually get told it's next year. Not too much in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Not too, it's either January or not too long after January.
Am I going to be going to
There's a
visit?
Possibility of going, I keep getting, there's an opportunity to actually go to Colorado in September.
In September, okay. Because
I feel like in some ways, it's one of those things of being comfortable. And I feel like what the situation is, it may feel uncomfortable to make that kind of jump or leap of faith, but it also shows no matter when you take that leap, it has a happy outcome. And it shows that, in some sense of the word, realistically, also success, with a lot of other things too, really seems to be something that would also amplify by making that move.
Also what? I didn't hear the last part.
Everything in your life, success.
Okay.
Will also be amplified by making a move. Even if you gotta sit there and it shows that once you make a decision to go, a way will be provided and the opportunities will fall into place.
Wow. Am I going to be just visiting? Well, you say move, so it sounds like the angels are saying
it's like this, a move, take what you got, go, connect, do the whole thing, stick to the gun, that kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
And then if you have to go back and get some stuff, then you do what you got to do. But that's the point I see. It's like the idea of going.
Yeah. My biggest concern is I'm a homeowner, but my mortgage is so cheap. I mean, and my children, they're grown and they work now, and they're pretty much straight. I mean, they have their own vehicles, they're working and going to school. So pretty much, I mean, all I have to do is take care of a few things here. Huh?
If you sold your house, it'd be quick.
But I don't want to sell it. The reason why I wouldn't is because of my kids. I always want them to have a place to stay. Yeah.
But what you got to do, sweetie, is you got to let go of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust your kids. So you always want a place for your kids to stay. At the same time, you're still putting doubt within their success.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get the impression if you let them go, they're going to find their own, and they're going to outdo you like tenfold. And then you're going to sit and look at the freaking house going, huh. It's
you're
like
so
a, it's
right.
Like, it's like this house looks like first base. And you're from the left field, and you're looking at first base where you can barely see it. You're going, why am I hanging on to that? Is it more of my own insecurities, or is it because of what I say? Just be honest with yourself. Like you just said, I think you just was honest with yourself going, you know, sometimes you got a point there. Anyway.
It's just that they grew up here, and the mortgage is so cheap. You can't even find rent for what my mortgage is because I bought my house in 99. And I don't know. It's just, you know, one is in college, one works, he's fixing to go back to school, and I just wanted them to have a home away from home, so to speak. So my biggest thing was, regardless of where I go, I just wanted to make
You can also take your house like this, too. And it's one of those situations where, this might sound crazy to some people, but I've seen people do this here, too. What they do is they'll take their house, and during the summer months, they turn it into a vacation house for somebody.
Right.
And people are like, well, you know, that could be dangerous. No, it's never dangerous unless you put that kind of factors into it, okay? My mom had a rental property, okay? But she was also very insecure about money in the first place. So therefore, what she did was she manifested people coming in her house, and they destroyed her house.
Oh,
now, what you have to understand is she was also, with the fear, she didn't think she could actually get the clientele that she felt could actually rent that house for what she wanted. Now, you see the doubts? Now, if you take the doubts and you change them around, and you start changing them around and going, okay, this is a vacation house for people who can't afford a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford the house.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you take the situation, if you want to do it that way, and you do just like it was like any other business. You put it in publications. You put it with places that people who want to get away. Like I've seen people do this in small towns, and people go, you know, this is a small town. There's not a lot of stuff here. Who would rent from me? Who would want to live in my bed and breakfast? And you're thinking, going, I'm not talking about local clientele. This is a small town. People are looking for places to vacation.
Mm-hmm.
As in small towns, to get away from where they're at, to get away from their lives, okay? And I sat there and said, do you realize that where we live, in the small town I was in, we were like 2 hours away from an amusement park. We were 2 hours, we were actually about 45 minutes from Columbus, Ohio. And Columbus, Ohio has tons of museums, but it's also a beautiful place. And some kids have never even seen cows, okay? So when you sit there and put all these factors together, see what you're doing is you're getting a picture of success. And you're saying, okay, this might sound great. I go to Colorado, I rent my house out for 3 months of the year or 6 months of the year where it's like some vacationing people, make so much freaking money. It's the ideal of having that success within your head that you know that. Because I just feel like the ideal going to Colorado. You've never been to Colorado, have you?
No, I haven't. I never even thought about going until... I had a friend of mine. She was telling me about skiing, and she went to a certain point of the mountain, and she could see, she could see the earth, the way the earth was doing, and she said it was so beautiful. She could see parts of the earth she didn't know existed.
That's why I'm at in Colorado. I'm in Colorado. I'm near Pikes Peak, and
in Denver.
Yeah, he's 60 minutes from me.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like...
So you actually see me going to Colorado?
No, I just told you that. No, I'm just kidding. I did. It's like this. I'll give you an example, too. When I got this idea of moving back out here, but it took me 3 years to get it done, but maybe no, it's actually 6 years, okay? So I sit there, and something kind of prompted me over and over and over again. I need to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I was helping my brother clean his house up and stuff so we could get it rented out. That took about 3 months. Okay, maybe a little bit longer than that. Anyway, so I went to my mom, and I said, you know something? This is what I think we should do. I just bowled, and I said, you know something? I helped my brother for 3 months. We didn't just clean the house. We painted it. I did caulking on the roof, on the chimney, and everything else, sealed leaks, all kinds of good stuff. I think I replaced windows and all kinds of things, you know? I cleaned the kitchen up. The kitchen, these people were there, I think, 2 years. I have never, ever seen such a roach infestation. They were actually outside in the grass. The house was so full of roaches that the house was surrounded, and they had the exterminators had to come in there for 2 months, and it was like one of the worst jobs. Then they stored all this junk in the freaking basement. And anybody knows, if you don't have any kind of ventilation in your basement, this stuff gets mildewed and it's contaminants. I mean, it's toxic. And I pulled all this stuff out of this basement. We cleaned the basement. And then we had somebody come in and install all the freaking copper pipes. And what was so bad about that situation, I cleaned and did what I could, and I tried to replace my brother's pipes, which I could have done if I would have had some kind of diagram telling me what it was like. They took out all the freaking pipes from the hot water tank and everything else in the house back to the main line. So I didn't really have nothing. I didn't have anything to go by, even how to do these pipes. I had to do this by my intuition. But my brother said, well, I'll just come down and do it because I know my house. No problem. But see, and then we painted the house 2 or 3 times because they had so much crap on the freaking walls. It took us about 2 coats, 3 coats of paint to get over it. They found these crayons. I think they were like oil-based crayons or something. I can't remember what kind it was. But every time you paint on them, they would come through.
Mm-hmm.
It took us a while to get over these things. We had to replace light fixtures, the upstairs, do the pipes and stuff like that. So I just went to my brother. I went to my mom and I said, you know something? This is what I think. I think you should give me $500 and a bus ticket back to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of looked at me like, well, let me think about it. So what I did was that week, I sat there and said, you know something? I went to Colorado the first time, and it didn't cost me nothing. And I deserve to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, she came to me, and she said, we agree. What we're going to do is we'll give you $300 the first month and $200 the next month, and I'll get you a bus ticket back to Colorado. So therefore, when you're in Colorado, I can send the $200 to you. And I said, okay, no problem. So then I sat there and thought about it, and I said, I want to feel a little more secure about the situation, right? So I sat there and said, you know something? She needs to get that bus ticket now. And that, what's so funny about it is every time these intentions are put out there, you know, she would come to me and say, okay, I think we should get that bus ticket now. I was like, okay. So I went to the computer. She came out there. She gave me her credit card, and she said, go in there, get me a bus, and get yourself a bus ticket, get it all taken care of and stuff. So I did, and I had it mailed to the house. So I was ready to go. Okay, as soon as I got the freaking money, I got sweated because this was like setting a date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is like setting a date, and that's what it did. I got the bus ticket. The bus ticket was going to be leaving on a certain time. So therefore, it seemed like everything had fell into place after that, just kind of like pieces of the puzzle fell into place. And next thing you know, everything came through. My mom gave me $300. I had money, too, that I'd made to that point, too, as well. And then I came out here on the bus. The bus actually went to Colorado Springs. And then all I had to do was walk about 3 blocks up to the bus system, catch a bus up to where I wanted to live at. And I got me a hotel, which I lived in for about a month. But see, everything fell into place as the ideal. I had businesses. I had companies I was working for. I had money coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had connections. So therefore, it was time to step out on my own 2 feet. So I did.
Right.
And then when I did that, because I always felt that once I came back here, everything would get great. Because the first time I was here, I noticed my income went from a certain point and kind of going up and up in success and opportunities and stuff like that. It just seemed like they were really easy. So I came back here. I stayed in this hotel, and it was, the one thing that got me the most, made me feel real confident about the idea of manifesting things, was that when I was sitting here and I had to pay, I needed the money to pay another week. And I told a friend of mine, I said, I swear to you, that morning of the day that I had to have that money, I had zero in my accounts. I had worked every night, every day. But the money had not come in on that date. It was still coming, but it didn't come on that date where I had to give her money. And I was kind of fearful about the situation. I was focusing, need a client, need to get a reading and focus. But I wasn't allowing the universe to do this the way they felt like it was going to be you know, what was the best interest, what was the win-win scenario here? But letting them dictate it, how it's going to fall into place, which didn't go along with how I had saw it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would sit there and say, we need to read it, we need to da-da-da-da, so be it, so it is, and, you know, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying, harmonious ways, and, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I'm sitting there going, okay, what's happening? My guides came to me and said, you haven't let it go. You're still hanging on to it. You're feeling like if you leave this room, you're going to come back with your stuff out in the freaking street. See, you're making a decision to stay here and to hang on to this thing out of fear.
Uh-huh.
You're not letting it go. Once you let it go, you will get it. And they go, what would you be doing right now if you wasn't sitting here worrying about this? I said, well, I'd probably go on the gym. Then go to the gym. And I got on the bus to go to the gym. As I'm going to the gym, I got a prompting to call this friend of mine to ask him for the money. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I think I should get a reading. And they go, just listen to the guidance. You know, you just let go. You're going to the gym. Listen, call. I said, okay. So I called the guy up, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, I hate to ask you this, but how's it going? But I need to ask a favor if you could let me have $125. So
mm-hmm.
I can keep my room for another week. I got stuff coming in, but nothing's coming in right now. He goes, done. I was like, what? I'm thinking to myself in my head going, done? He goes, yeah, as soon as I get to the computer, I'll have that money to you in a minute. And then we got cut off. And I'm sitting here thinking about I was on the cell phone on the bus, and we got cut off. So I was like, oh, okay, no problem. And I said to myself, that was easy. Maybe I should ask for $150. And that's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then later on, I think it was about 20 minutes later, Richard called me back, and he said, I sent the money to you, but I didn't send you $125. I said, you didn't? He goes, no, I sent you $150.
Okay.
So you see how important it is when you put the intentions out there with that kind of confidence, where you just say, I should ask for $150, and then you get it. See, that's the idea. People ask me about manifestations all the time. You know, how can I make manifestations happen really quick? Do you realize what I just did? I just made a statement. I just made a statement. Maybe I should have asked. I should have asked for around $50. Nonchalantly, I asked for it. I let it go, and then it happened. So the most important part of that whole situation was detaching and letting it go.
That is so true, and I appreciate everything that you're telling me, because now I'm at more peace with dealing with him, because there's no way around. It's like, can't get away from him. Can't deal with him.
What you can do is a nice technique called the pink bubble technique, all right? You can do the pink bubble on yourself for protection. So therefore, when he's not being a nice guy, he doesn't get through.
Is the pink light of love, like the light pink light? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, the pink light, the pink energy, the pink bubble, what it does is it brings back to the point. Let's see. Holy mackerel. All right, hold on. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, shit. Don't you hate when your freaking thing goes, your keypad is stuck?
Wow.
I could look at this thing in 2 seconds. Oh, shoot. I keep pushing the wrong button. Oh, it's my sister. All right. Oh my God! It's like everybody's like, I got like three minutes, and I'm gonna go cut the show off and everything. And I'm gonna be done. And everybody starts calling. Interesting.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm gonna let you go. But you've been such a blessing.
You're fine. Let me finish this. I need to finish this. Okay. I don't like leaving people. I don't like leaving and saying, well, I gotta go because my freaking thing. I mean, I do this show for one reason, to give you the information. I want to make sure I do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. What you do is you surround yourself with a pink bubble. Poof. You're protected. What it does is it lets people that are in your best interest, who care about you, love you, at that how they feel, let you in. It lets them in. Okay, it protects you. But it also protects you from other people who don't. So you can. It's like one of those things of surrounding yourself with a pink bubble, allowing yourself to actually listen and follow your heart and what you actually really feel. Okay? Now, then we sit there and take it one step further. We can surround a pink bubble with him and watch him go off into the sunset, going to heaven, to actually have those realizations.
Mm-hmm.
So I do with my situation is I'll sit here and I'll take my girlfriend, like this person, and put her in the pink bubble, and then ask the angels to take her off to heaven to actually have a transformation and realizations. So therefore, the obstructions, blocks, and everything else are cleared. She's healed from head to toe, so she no longer allows her body to dictate her what she's going to do with her life. She actually listens to her head. Hold up. She actually listens and follows her heart. And by listening and following her heart, it eliminates her mind. So therefore, she knows the truth, and she sees the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, she's able to come home to me. We'll be living together, and we'll get married. See, those are the outcomes that I see, and the ideal of focusing on those outcomes and saying, being married, and even further than that, it's the ideal of already getting past those things and seeing yourselves as coexisting with each other, even to the point of actually loving, embracing, and kissing, even to the point where you can actually focus a picture of a reunion, where when you see each other, it's just, you can, the hugs are so intense, you can feel each other and their arms
mm-hmm.
around you
mm-hmm.
as that intense, poof, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know from that visualization you saw of two people hugging like that, that they are together, they're living their lives, they're sharing their lives together, and they've actually taken it one step further where they're married to each other. And they don't care what the other
yeah.
person does for a living or everything, that kind of stuff. They just know.
Mm-hmm.
They're together and they're sharing their lives, no matter what those are. Okay? They love each other, they care each other, they love each other so much. And it's one of those things, they'll love each other for, they just tell each other, I'll love you forever. And then they just basically show each other that every day by sharing and whatever. You do the same thing with him.
Wow, that is so deep. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we got to scoot, guys. We got to get out of here. We're running out of time. But hey, guys, thanks everybody for calling. Thank you.
Okay.
And please,
I'll be calling you back.
Yes,
I'll be calling you back for past life.
No problem. I'll be looking forward to sitting down and doing that with you. Okay. And you have
okay.
a fantastic night. All right. And we're going to leave you. We're going to leave you with this one song called Higher. Actually, it's I'm trying to find this song. I'm actually finding this song where it shows What's on My Mind by Kansas. Talk to you guys later. Bye.